Thank you so much for joining us for this week's message from Real Life Community, where we talk about connecting with God and others, growing in Christ-likeness, and sharing God's life with the world. My name is Sarah Comer, and I serve each week as Connections Pastor, making sure that you know that there is a God and a community that loves you and wants to go through the seasons of life with you. The easiest way to connect with us from right where you are is by downloading our free Real Life Community app from your App Store. You can also find us at reallifecommunity.org, and we would love to meet you on Facebook or Instagram. Until then, we hope this message meets you right where you are and helps you know just how deep the Father's love is for you.
I wonder how easy it is for us, though, to slip into this model, this way of life where there's this formula going on in our minds. If I is kind of how we function, and there's this fill in the blank after that. If I, and then maybe in our formula it goes, if I, then God. Like, I've got to do a certain thing or measure up to a certain standard or look a certain way or speak a certain way or whatever. And if I can hit that, then God will do what we hope God will do. It's like we've had this formula that we've wrestled with as human beings almost like embedded into our DNA ever since the fall. It's like from the fall, if you stretch all the way back and you begin looking at human history, what do you see human civilization doing when it comes to relating to God? Filling in the blank with stuff that we can do. Well, if we just created this ritual, if we just made these sacrifices, if we just built this temple, well, maybe if we just built that temple, or if we just built that temple, or if we just fashioned this idol, or if we just said the prayers in this certain way. You with me? That there's this whole like system that if we would fill in the blank, and this isn't just, if we look back in the Old Testament, we see some of these things with the Israelites in these patterns, but the Israelites were set down in the middle of culture after civilization that also did these kinds of things. And even more so, when you look at some of the worship practices and patterns of the nations that surrounded the people of God in the Old Testament, there was almost this total giving over to this kind of a formula. That if I would do all of these wild things, then we could maybe get the gods to pay attention to us. This is kind of the way that human civilization went way back hundreds of years ago, but you know, we haven't progressed really all that far, have we? We still wrestle with the same kind of thing, and our if fill in the blanks might look a little different, but they're still there a lot of times. We wrestle with them. If I will just pray enough, or read my Bible enough, or get in church enough, or do the right things, or be around the right people, or, you know, that kind, if I could, that's our whole mentality that we wrestle with from time to time, that there's this formula that's going on. Now, we've been in the series on the life of Jesus for a couple of months now, leading up to Easter, and we're coming towards the end, but if you've been with us for any time, you'd recognize that one of the key central messages of Jesus' life is to proclaim the kingdom of God. So everywhere he went, he's proclaiming the kingdom of God. And one of the questions of his day and our day and all the days of human history really has been, how do I get in that? Like, how do I get in on the kingdom of God where God is present and fills all things and his will is done and everything is whole and good and right and true? How do I enter into that? This is a big debate in Jesus' day and all the days really. And Jesus comes around proclaiming the kingdom of God is near to you. And he invites people from all different kinds of walks of life to come into the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God, he says, is among you. But these questions still rose from time to time. And so he taught about them a lot, about what it means to belong to the kingdom of God and all these sorts of things. And one time while he was teaching, maybe about these kingdom of God kinds of things, some parents or some people began to bring children to him. Even little infants, in Luke chapter 18 is where we're going to be today, they began to bring these little babies to him like he's running for president or something. Jesus, could you just hold my baby? Photo opportunity, you know, can you touch my baby? Can you hold my baby? Can you bless my baby? Pray for my baby? And some of the security guard disciples begin to recognize this. They're like, sorry, he's doing important work. He's teaching about the kingdom of God here, right? And in fact, can we just read this passage about how it goes? It says in verses 15 through 17, now they were bringing even infants to him that he might touch them. And when the disciples saw it, they rebuked them. But Jesus called them to him saying, let the children come to me and do not hinder them, for to such belongs the kingdom of God. Now, we recite that verse a lot of times when we're doing baby dedications. And you know, baby dedications are something we do like every other week around here because we're having so many babies all the time. In fact, next week we're having a baby dedication. Abigail's being dedicated. And we'll talk about this verse. But then Jesus, a lot of times I don't talk about this next verse there, but it's so important where he begins to apply it. He says, truly, I say to you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God like a child shall not enter into it. Now, there is so much going on here in these few verses, in this little teaching, in this illustration. And it's more than just the reality that Jesus has a soft spot in his heart for kids, which he does. That's a real thing, right? But it's not just that. There's more going on here. Jesus, in this moment, is describing a total reversal of how we human beings tend to find ourselves in the middle of the kingdom of God. How in the world do we come into, how do we enter into the kingdom of God? In fact, it's hard to even, the way Jesus talks about it, you can't even, you have to change your language. It's not about coming into the kingdom of God so much, because that assumes like there's some movement on our part that makes it happen. But it's about the kingdom coming to us and being given. Do you see how the posture changes? It's not so much about what do I have to do to fill in the blank to get into the kingdom of God. Jesus says the kingdom of God is given. Whoever doesn't receive it, and not only receive it, like this is how you find yourself in the midst of the kingdom, by receiving this gift. But not only receive it, but receive it like a child. Now, what's he talking about there? What's he talking about there? I don't know about you guys, but think about today from where you're at and your point in life right now, especially you adults who are in the room. Think about how you tend to receive gifts, okay? When was the last time you clicked your heels together in the air when you got a gift, you know? When was the last time you just, tears of happy joy just started, you know, coming down your face and just started dancing around the room? When was the last time that you received a gift and you didn't think one of a few things? What did I do to deserve this? Or how am I going to repay this person for what they gave me? Or how am I going to keep things even between me and this person? Like, I don't think I've given them a gift as extravagant as they've given me. And so we've got to figure out what I can go get them next. And like, you know what I'm talking about here? It's very difficult for us as adults who most of our lives we've been grown up and nurtured and fashioned. And a lot of these things are good. But our parents, like from an early age, hey, it's about time for you to start pulling your weight around here, you know? Here's a little chore list. It's time for you to go get a job, you know? I see some moms like looking at their kids being like, yeah, that's what I'm talking about, you know? Like, but here's the thing. All of that is good and right and true. We do need to grow up and be responsible adults and all of these kinds of things. But there's something about the way we interact with the kingdom that growing up in the kingdom doesn't quite look like that. Some of these skills that we learn that help us make our way in the world and be responsible adults don't fit so well when it comes to actually living and existing and coming into the kingdom of God. Jesus says, no, if you're going to receive the kingdom and belong to it and it belong to you, then you have to do it like a kid. So again, what's he talking about there? Ashley and I thankfully are in this wonderful season of life. where we've still got fairly small children. And so every once in a while, a birthday or Christmas morning, okay, Christmas morning comes along. And for Ashley and I, this whole thing has shifted so much. It's not about getting presents at all. We, you know, like whatever. All that we care about is getting the presents ready for the kids so we can see the joy on their faces. It's this beautiful thing that we get to do. And so let me give you an example. This past Christmas, Gray, my middle son, had been asking for, he's a huge Steph Curry fan. Like, that's all he cares about. Steph Curry, Golden State Warriors. He wakes up in the morning, and the first thing he does is he reaches over before he even puts on his glasses and long presses the Siri, the home button on his iPad, and he says, "Who won the Warriors game last night?" And then it's like, "How many points did Steph Curry have?" And then he comes out of his room telling us what happened in the Warriors game the night before and how many points Curry had, and et cetera, et cetera. And Gray wanted a Steph Curry jersey for Christmas. Wanted a Steph Curry jersey. So I'm a good dad and really cheap. So I found one on eBay. I went and found it. I think it might have had tags on it, but it didn't matter. It looked brand new. And so we get this jersey, put it in a box, wrap it all up. And Christmas morning comes along. We open a couple other little presents. And then we hand Gray the gift, right? And Gray opens this, and you guys know, you've probably experienced this in your households maybe, and he opens this up, and the minute he glimpses the fact that it's the thing that he's hoped for all these months, you know, he's sitting on the couch at the time. He slides off the couch because he can't even sit anymore. And then we've got a picture of it, actually. He just... Listen, I mean, I was there, so there's a part of it's a part that gets me, but does it get you? He just sits there with his head in his hand because he's received this gift. He hardly doesn't even know what to do with it, you know. It's just more, it's just beyond. And then I wish I had like video of what happened next, but like what happened next, we've got some other pictures, but I can't show them because there may or may not have been tears. And right off to that direction, right off this direction from this picture, Ashley's sitting on the floor over here, and Gray becomes a torpedo in the next moment and like literally bowls her over and then he just makes his rounds around the room, and what you see in Gray is just this unfiltered joy from receiving a gift. And before long, Gray might not have been crying, but the rest of us were, because it's a beautiful thing to see when someone just receives a gift like a child. Just receives. And this is what Jesus is talking here. This is the kind of thing Jesus is talking about. Let me ask you a question. When was the last time you received a gift like that? Not the Steph Curry jersey, but the way of receiving. When was the last time that you got something and this was the only thing you could do, you know? Now, this was over a Steph Curry jersey. Think about this for a minute. The creator of heaven and earth, his longing and desire is to give you not just a jersey, but his very own self, his very spirit to pour into you, to fill you up, to give you life. And when God does this, his kingdom comes along with it. Right? Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's the kingdom right there. And this is how God wants us to be thinking about and interacting with and belonging with the kingdom, that it's something that's just poured out and given like a gift to children. And so the formula isn't so much, if I fill in the blank, then God. Instead, we receive the kingdom. It's the only way to come into it. And the reality that this is a gift we don't even, don't earn, changes everything about how we live and move and have our being within it. If we find ourselves in a kingdom that we didn't earn in the first place, it changes how we live and move in it. So I want to propose this different formula. That the formula, because of the life and death and resurrection of Jesus and his story for us, changes from if I, then God, to because God than we. Because God has already come in flesh and blood. Because he has already taken our sins upon himself and carried them to the cross. Because he has already died in our place. Because he has already been raised back to life. Because he has promised to return and take us to be with him where he is for all eternity in the kingdom of God as a gift. Because God has given, then we get to receive. Then we have life. Then we are freed from our sins. Then we belong in the family of God. Then we have hope for a future. Then we get to experience life in the kingdom as the gift that it is. You see how this is just a totally different way of interacting with the kingdom. The entirety of our lives in Christ are a gift. Everything then we do after that gift, which always comes first, is a response of gratitude to what God has already given. Everything. Everything that comes after our fill in the blank is a response to what God has already given. And listen, this is important because not only does it come first to us and we receive it, but we never, as we grow up in Christ, stop receiving the kingdom. This always is the only way to live in interaction with the kingdom. At no point do we shift and we're like, well, you're 18 now. It's time to get out and make your own way, you know, in the kingdom. That doesn't ever happen. The older we get, the more mature we get, the better we become at graciously receiving the goodness of God into our lives and then living as a response. The most mature Christian, when it comes to the kingdom of God, looks like the youngest baby. We don't grow up out of that. I love Paul at one point. He's writing this letter to the Corinthians, and he's talking about some people that are getting a little proud with their own religiosity or the way that they're able to do some stuff and how they look in the kingdom or whatever. And he writes them in chapter 4, verse 7, these words: what do you have that you did not receive? Hypothetical question there, right? Nothing is the answer. If you then received it, why do you boast as if you didn't? This is Paul, who later on in another place would say, man, you know, the only thing I'm ever going to boast in is Jesus. If I've got anything to boast in, it's just that the story of God came right to me in flesh and blood and saved my life and called me home into his kingdom. I'll boast in that all day long, but there's nothing else. So thank you, God, for the gift, because everything we have is a gift. Everything in our lives. Now, you know, this isn't necessarily an easy thing to do, to just stay in receiving in gratitude mode all the time. We want to shift it around, right? And we want to begin to earn. Now, when we respond, there's all sorts of things we do out of gratitude, though. We do in gracious response. We go torpedo hug people and like that kind of stuff, right? We serve one another. We love one another. We forgive one another. But we do those things in response out of gratitude for what God has already done for us. There's this interesting thing, though, and I didn't pick it up until a few weeks ago when I was studying for this message. I've never put these two stories together in my mind in this way, but Jesus has just spent this time, a couple verses, illustrating what it means to receive the kingdom. You don't earn it. You can't work your way into it, that kind of thing. And you know what the very next verse is in the Gospel of Luke? Luke 18, verse 18, we see a shift of a scene. And all of a sudden, there's this rich ruler that comes walking up to Jesus, chest puffed out. He knows how to follow the law. He knows how to do all the good things. He's kept him since he was young. He knows what to do to inherit eternal life. But he comes up to Jesus after Jesus has just said, you can't do anything for it. You just have to receive it. And the rich ruler, this is the very next sentence, walks up to Jesus and says, "Good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" I would have loved to, just like if we had a GoPro, you know, or something at that point. I bet Jesus at that point was like, oh, "Are you for real?" Nothing. It doesn't work that way. Jesus ends up humoring the rich ruler, and they go through these lists, and Jesus gives them something else, which is to let go of all the things. It's almost like he says to this guy, "Listen, I know that served you well in your life up to this point, like earning and making and holding on and caring for and being responsible and all those kinds of things, but you don't enter into the kingdom that way. And so if you're going to enter into the kingdom, you have to learn a different way of being in this kingdom. So you got to let all that go. Just go sell it, give it to the poor, and learn a different way to be in the kingdom of God. It's not easy, but this is the way God invites you in to his kingdom. This is the way God comes to you and me. And it never stops coming, and he never stops coming. And so I want to invite you this morning, would you just receive? Would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, we do thank you this morning that you are a gracious God and a good giver, and that you long to share not only your kingdom, but your very self with us. And so God, here before we enter into this last song in response, would you help us to reflect on the reality that at one time we were lost and broken. And we didn't come to be called your children because of anything that we did or any way that we measured up or any standard that we met, but we came into your family as your children because you embraced us. Because you sent your son Jesus and you made a way for us, and you came among us, and then you gifted and gifted and gifted and continued to give and give and give. And so God, we pray that you would hold us now in your love, and help us to receive you with joy and gratitude. In the name of Jesus, everybody say, amen.